Turning this morning to the book of Exodus in chapter 12. So Exodus chapter 12. And I start with the first two verses. So Exodus chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. We are thinking about spiritual exodus, because we know that in our Exodus chapter 12 is the history of the exodus of the people of Israel from Egypt. Israel has spent several years in Egypt, and now the Lord has come by his power through Moses to deliver them from Egypt. And the Bible tells us, especially in the New Testament, that this was intended to be a picture also of how God delivers us and brings us to himself. So here you have a very helpful picture. So as you think about how the Lord delivered Israel from their bondage, from Egypt, and brought them to the promised land, the Bible says, think also about how God brings us from the bondage of sin to himself. So I'm going to pick up a number of elements, probably about three or four, which are very important in understanding how God brings us also to himself. You know that being brought out of our Egypt is like being brought out of our life of sin and slavery to this world to God himself. Now, when the people of Israel were in Egypt, I'm sure you know that it was God's purpose, because the Lord desired that Israel would be there for some time. And then afterward, and only afterward, will he bring them out. I would emphasize that a little soon, but I want you to put that on your mind. It wasn't an accident. It was designed. It was purposeful. God deliberately arranged that that should happen, even though it involved the pain and suffering of the people of Israel under the rule of the Egyptians, yet it was purposeful. God had a purpose in that. Yami kani se, ye pesi efa sedira didi Israel funo efri Egypt ebkro Kena asasenusuno ekasache sede irade ejiye ifi riasini embonimo ebaninche seyane nyankopon shishenu nyankopon shishenu se sede oji Israel funo enkasa enchreye nso efa sede ojiye ifi embonimo ebonu ankasa enche nyamikasa siyane se mra Israel fu edinu wo Egypt no nyankopono ana o shishenu sa enye accident. And to say ebimwa omuko free mind bi so na ekoba se afedi omwaboye nkwa ewoho ntihia se yiwo efri ho de bi nyankopono na oshishenu sa isan se no pese oye kasa tre ema Israel fu no eniye nso inti enunti na pese yehwe na okasa tre inti me pese me fa enyoma me se miensa na se nan ema ne kan ye fa se di rade eji nkrofo so eba ne nchen didi kan ewo verses 1 and 2. This is the first one, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. This is the beginning of Israel's nationality. This is the beginning of Israel's very existence, an entity, as a body, as an independent body. And God is saying, this is the beginning of your calendar. This shall be the beginning of your years. If we're counting your years, if you want to count your January, let us start from here, even though that would be different from how the rest of the world called their January. And so this is Israel's beginning of year. And so God told them. So they were going to mark it as a special day. And all their time when they were living, they will regard this as the beginning of their year, the very start of their nationhood. And friend, the same it is. I don't know whether you know, conversion, becoming a Christian, is the beginning of your real life. It's the beginning of your real living. Before then, you were not living. Before then, you were only a slave. Before then, you have no living soul. You have no contact with God. You were dead. It was as if you were not existent before God. Yes, you were still living on this earth, but you have no real relationship with God, and that's what matters, my dear friends. You see, Israel nyankopon kasa sa deno obey you all every Egypt no, and you want down da edi kai mo so mo kai won afie no. Among calendar now, among kase, Saturday and first day, yeah, Quebec is on first January, and so any one first January, sa Sunday, Radi, a catcher one, yes, a catcher chain say, so what ba a radin chain, a da a radi by Jono, also, and any da a dick kind of a brebomo, a fain a brebo, as she has said. A fain a wobra ashes because and sunny ready do bow in chen. You know what you are acquire? It is a winny crackra. It is a wewu, a wen yang kopo in him. Inti, irade and who says the winny hokrampo. Int a fain a wabankamo. A fain a winny yang kopo ebenanti. A fain a wo enqua, a we radimo. And so that's the beginning. Conversion is the beginning of everything, my dear friends. So, dear friends, when you are a young person, you are thinking of life and you are really beginning and I'm dreaming all kinds of things. When I finish school and then I settle down and I get a job and I have my house, yes, then I will settle down. Actually, without the grace of God bringing you to Christ, you are not really settling down. You are actually getting more settled in sin and in wickedness. You were going on in merely emptiness. That's what the Bible calls it. The Bible calls it a vain show. It calls it vanity. It's nothing. Nothing. I am merely wasting away the years until the Lord Jesus Christ brings me to Himself. Then life begins. Friends, there's something else. Look at our verses 12 to 13. The same chapter. So verses 12 and 13. Let me start from 11 to make it a little clearer. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The second thing is that this nation Israel will be founded, its foundation will be settling upon two important miraculous events. Two miraculous events. Wonderful they are. The first was the conquest of Pharaoh. The first was that Pharaoh had to be overcome. Pharaoh had to be subdued. Pharaoh who would resist their leaving will finally has to be conquered before that happens. And I'm sure you know how many times Pharaoh resisted. And a number of times he tried to find a way out but still keep Israel in slavery. But the Lord told Moses never to accept that until all Israel was gone. That's the very first thing that should happen. The second thing was the killing of the Passover lamb. We call that the Paschal lamb. The Passover lamb that needed to be killed and the blood smeared upon the doorposts. These two things must happen. The conquest of Pharaoh and the Passover lamb. The two go together. All of them must happen if Israel will be delivered from the hand of Egypt. Israel fi Egypt dia se nyoma mi enu ne esie na edi kan ne se nyankopon odi Pharaoh sunim ese oyi Pharaoh fi ho ose obre no ase amanoa ready se oja Israel fo omoko na afise se omukum sa egwamba no omudi no boja ebe won pon no anu no se de ebe ya Israel fo no enwo ese sa nyoma bi nyina ese se esie. My dear friends, these days people think that conversion is a small thing. It always grieves you when you see people speak that way. Friends, conversion in the Bible, conversion is God's greatest work. In fact, greater than even the creation of the whole world. It's God's greatest work. It's such a mighty work of God because it involves these two mighty works, all of them so mighty. And so wonderful. Before you can become a converted person and a Christian, God Himself has to, by the power of His Holy Spirit, actually wrest you from the hands of this world. Wrest you from the arms of sin and from yourself. before you become converted, before you are such a slave to these things that you won't go. And these things will not let you go. These things will hold you up. They will hold you up as slaves. They won't allow you to go. It will be very difficult, friends. Nature, if it were to be natural, you would never know when we would be converted, friends. And so it has to take the power of God to set us free. To set us free from the power of Satan so that we can become the children of God. In Acts chapter 28, 26, I beg your pardon, the Apostle Paul tells us that his preaching mission was exactly like that. In order to deliver people from the power of Satan and bring them into the kingdom of Christ. And so it is, my dear friends. The mighty work has to happen, otherwise there's no hope at all. My dear friends, it is a wonderful thing that the Lord must bring us out of this world. You know, we are such a family, self-willed people. Do you know that? We are very self-willed people. We would want to do what we want. So we are slaves to ourselves. Even though we are ignorant of the most important things in life, yet we behave as if we do. Without God's revelation, without God telling us, we really don't know what are the serious things in life. And yet we keep going on as if we know. And we will not listen. We will not listen to God's counsel. Because we believe our own heads. We believe our own selves. We think we'll be able to settle everything that comes our way. And we don't know that the more we go on trying to do things our way, the more we go far off from the Lord. I don't know whether you have been carried away by the current of the ocean before. Well, if you lived in the beach and you fell into the ocean, and the current began to take you away, it's often said that the more you struggled, the more it made it easier for it to take you away. Because the more you struggle, the more you lighten yourself in its arm. And so the waves takes you far away. And people don't know. The more they think they can by their own struggles live out life, the more they go far away from God. Until they realize. And so it is said again by the I've been bathing in the ocean, but I've not tried to rescue anybody before. But those who rescue say that if you want to rescue somebody, you can't rescue him as long as he's struggling. When he's struggling, throwing arms and legs everywhere, now you don't go near the person. You only wait. You stand out there until the person actually gives up wrestling and struggling. And he lets himself go. He resigns himself to the ocean. And then the person can go and actually go to the back of the person, keep pushing him towards the shore. And then he will succeed. As long as he struggles, they say that even that is dangerous because the person can drown with you also. Because he was so cleave to you. And then both of you will drown. And so you only wait until he has no more energy to struggle. Then you can rescue that person. My dear friends, people do not know that until we resign ourselves to the Lord, then are we actually in a position to be delivered from ourselves. How much we trust ourselves. How much we trust this world. How much the average young person looks upon this world. This is the place he wants to shine. This is the place he also wants to supposedly leave a mark and things like this. It is good to do your best. Obviously, you wouldn't be a lazy person in this world. You wouldn't turn out to be somebody who becomes a burden to society and things like this. Oh, but my dear friends, when people think, well, this is the world all for me. I'm going to really have it everything in my own way. Friends, you deceive yourself. You become its slave. It is the world that will enslave you. It's not you who's going to influence anything. You may influence some small people, perhaps even a generation of people, but eventually you have to be a slave first. You first have to be a slave before you can be of any help to anybody. And once you're a slave, well, of course, you will not be a servant of the Lord. You can't be God's. And so it is, my dear friends. And so, before we are delivered, before we become Christians, this deliverance, mighty deliverance, must occur. Delivered. Delivered from the power of Satan. Delivered from this world. Delivered from ourselves. So we no longer trust these things. And all our trust rests in the Lord. And we come to Him. And then there's hope that we may be blessed. and delivered. And the second thing you know is the Paschal lamb. The Passover lamb had to be killed. And the blood painted on the doorposts. And God said that when the angel of death passes, he will pass by and nobody will be killed in that house. And so it is. Why? Why was the Paschal lamb, the Passover lamb, had to be killed? The Bible tells us in the New Testament, because the Lord Jesus Christ must become like a Passover lamb. The people of Israel, when the angel of death was passing by, God said the only thing that would make them different was the blood that was on their doorposts. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that will let the angel of death pass over their houses without entering there to kill anybody. Otherwise, everybody was liable to death. Otherwise, everybody had to be killed by the angel of death. Only the blood there. It was supposed to remind the people of Israel, there has to be a Savior by whose blood alone sinners may live. By whose blood alone sinners may become God's children and rescued from the bondage of Satan and from the bondage of this world. Oh my dear, so the two things go together, you see. Why did we need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to be shed for us? Why? Because our God is holy and God is perfect. Sin is a terrible thing. Sin is never a small matter, friends. Sin is never a small... The smallest of lies, if we dare call it so. The smallest of lies are so unclean. Such a terrible thing before Almighty God. In the Bible, God demonstrated that sometimes. And if we don't appreciate how much holy God is, we don't appreciate why God did that. In the Bible, you remember a certain, when God gave the commandment about the Sabbath day, the day that nobody should do anything. The first day God gave that command, somebody went out there to get some pieces of wood. And so breaking the Sabbath, and God said you should be killed. Why? To teach people. This is how serious God's word must be taken. This is how serious God's word and God's prohibitions must be taken. Otherwise, we die. And so God is holy. And so in His holiness, sin must be punished. Friends, sin is a terrible thing. Now, if you want to have a picture of sin, well, we don't want to remind you ourselves. Think of a terrible disease that kills multitudes. Like the COVID and what it does to society now. I'm sure you know that they keep telling us that we are so thankful that COVID doesn't kill as much as it does now. They tell us that it kills only about 1% or so, or 2%. I don't know what you've heard, but that's what they say. They said that if COVID were to kill as Ebola does, it would have been terrible, far more terrible, because Ebola kills far more. And so if you had it, you were sure. About 50% of those who have it will be sure to die. Something like that. Now, why am I mentioning this? Now, imagine such a disease. If we saw where it came from, and we said, well, what should we do with this? Everybody will agree that let's destroy everything that really produces this kind of a virus or this kind of illness, don't we? We'll all agree it has to be destroyed entirely. Well, this is only a virus or an illness that only kills the body. Sin is far more terrible than that. We tend not to fear it, sadly. But it is that terrible, my dear friends. And it's only the blood of God, the Son of God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ alone can make the difference. The Lord Jesus Christ had to come and go to the cross of Calvary and pitch His mercy and suffered in the state of needy sinners, bear upon Himself the punishment of sin we should have borne, and then His righteousness will be given unto us and our sins laid upon Him, so that when the judgment of death should come, we will be spared, that it will pass over us if we are one of those who have come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. These two mighty things have to happen, the subduing of Pharaoh and the death of the Passover lamb. The subduing, the wrestling away of our soul from the world, from ourselves, from sin, and then the trusting, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ to wash us and to bring us to Himself. And so, friends, our concern this morning will be whether you are still in the arms of this world. I think it's a say, you can say Gwambano, a man in my four. I say, yes, Christo, no one can say, no, yang coupon, or no qua, and I'm so yang coupon quanti, no bit me di ni moja, ayesa, edisajmano, a man in my four. It sounds say, Bonnie, a dear Cassie, when yang coupon in him. Nimpa tae se obu boni se adiketua. Ebiya boni mako mako bidye. Obiya be peniso se eye boni pa. But ye sheda eyi boni bi film se mwende nye enye kesi biya. Esi nyanko ponwa. Ode nye nuna yon kwa kita nuna se. Bibiya etie dia ono se eno. Eya de kesi ewone nim. Inti bibiya nyo be chime yi boni no. Jise radi yesu kristo mkwa adishibo jano. San yome mieni. And his son says, Say, Uncle Panam, Radius Christo, so, a Jimmy Fibia sin semo, and me Uncle Samins me who, a mamantina, a mammy who bew. Friends, you know, there's one thing that marks genuine conversion. Once you are genuinely converted, because the Lord Jesus Christ washes you with his precious blood and delivers you from the world, from sin, from yourself. A very powerful desire stands in your heart, and it is this, that I don't want to do what I want anymore. I don't want to do what I want anymore. Not me. Not me again. It must be the Lord. It must be His will. It must be His mind. Watch for a person who is really brought to a point where he realizes and he desires never to live for himself again. No longer his pleasure and his desire, but to please the Lord. Then you are looking upon somebody who is truly converted, set free by the Lord Jesus Christ, washed and made such that he is willing to serve the Lord. Because unless we are set free from ourselves, you can never serve the Lord Jesus. You can't serve two masters, the Bible tells you. You can't serve your own interests and that of the Savior. Also, we have to be entirely His and belong entirely to Him. I say, yeah, Radius Christo Unquadia, say, Yabanin chair, said Yabaya, Yabitimi Edinun Quaich, say, Mrs. Radidi Ubanin chair, Adiaba Quebeche pass, so I do, don't say, a day de crow wakumim, a sa conono say, satin can say, mim persemiet said Yamia mi pedio. Friends, I hope I can tell you this with confidence. Well, you know, I have dealt with people whom the Lord has brought to himself before. And a number of times you see a proud, self-confident person, so brought down in his own eyes that in everything he wants counsel. He wants to be shown what to do. In everything he wants to be shown what's the will of the Lord. You know why? That's what the precious blood of Christ does. When it cleanses the heart and purges it, it delivers you also from the desire to rule yourself and to be your own master. See, Radi Yesu Christo Horowa. Now, Oma Osa Konan say, one person will you rule one because we are brave boss to be you. What person will you rule one because we are because, friends, I'm going to mention another thing which connects this very closely. And then I would enlarge on this a little more again. But the third thing is this. This deliverance from Egypt was according to promise. Look at verse 40. I think it's verse 40. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, 41. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. And so Israel was there for 430, this is counting the time of Joseph also. They were there for 430 years. So the point is this, that their deliverance was according to promise. This is what God had told Abraham. that I will let your descendants be slaves in another person's land. This is Genesis chapter 15. They'll be slaves in another land. And after 400 years, I will punish that nation. And I will deliver Israel from their enemies. So this is exactly according to promise. This is why our passage says in verse 41, and it came to pass at the end of the 430th, even the selfsame day. So this is according to promise. Friends, conversion is according to promise. God promises that anybody who repents and yields his heart to the Savior will be saved. It's according to promise. And quite yes, so a sedi radin boshete. Nia obedi ya on a tibia home. When we say what nam on one casano, sa tibia no pesi radi jini frim na oye radidiano, not in Renginashi radius Christo unquamuno, ya begino. This is a promise. A promise God gives to everyone that comes. But it brings me to my the thing I want to say. The question is, why did God wait for 430 years? When God was going to set up Abraham as a nation, all the way the promise in Genesis chapter 12, God is taking 430 years. Was it because God didn't have the power to do it? Of course, you know he does. Because why, for example, that when God said, I will make Abraham a mighty nation, yet he gave Abraham only one child. Only one child. Well, by accident Ishmael came in. Why? Why did not God, promising Abraham to make him a father of nations, give him, say, 50 children? And then you can be sure, as they multiply and give birth, within a short time, Abraham will have a large nation. Why did God wait for that? In fact, when you read the scripture, something is even surprising. When the people of Israel, when God promised that he was coming to deliver the people of Israel, all the way back in Exodus chapter 3, when the Lord told Moses that he has seen Israel's trouble and that he was coming to deliver them, you know, God took another 40 years before he came. Before he came to deliver the people of Israel. Why all these years? Friends, there are a number of reasons we can give. But let me mention only one for our purposes this morning. Because the Lord, before he delivered the people of Israel, when he had brought them to Egypt and had multiplied there, before the Lord delivered them, it was important that the people of Israel themselves became tired of Egypt. It was important they themselves wanted to leave. If they were settled and at home, and they wanted to be there, how would you deliver them? Moses would have called and said, okay, this is the time. Let's go. Let's leave Egypt. And some people say, no, wait a minute. I think I have my business settled up here. I can't leave it. And so things like that. In the, I think those of you who are older, was it 84 that the Ghanaians were coming out of Nigeria? It began in 82, thereabouts. When Ghanaians began to come out of Nigeria, a number of Ghanaians have gone to Nigeria during the latter part of the 70s, 1970s or so. Many Ghanaians went to Nigeria because those days Nigeria was, they tell us, a prosperous place. And Ghanaians went there and they were doing all kinds of work there. And somewhere in 82, 83, they were asked to leave the country. And so even that they showed us the pictures on TV, remember in those, there were not that many TV around us compared to today, but at least there were some. And you could see on the TV, whilst they were driving away, some Ghanaians were trying to get on board the ship the government had provided at the time. Some of them were falling into the water. You go to other parts of Nigeria, Ghanaians were settled. It was just comfortable. They wouldn't come. And do you remember there was that slogan? They told us, they said that some of the Nigerians, we see some of these Ghanaians, they were telling that, oh, Morgana, you know, go for your country. We heard that. So, because they seemed settled. They didn't want to go. If Israel were really all settled, everybody, so at least some of them, wouldn't want to go. And so you realize everybody would go. And so God would have to wait, if you like, until everybody was tired. Everybody was tired of Egypt, and they all wanted to go, and everybody wanted to go, and so their cry will be answered, and God will bring the whole people of Israel out of Egypt. You know what that tells us, my dear friends? You know, the only time you come to the Lord Jesus Christ is when you are tired of this world. Now, when people think that they want the Lord and a bit of this world at the same time,
what happens to them? They never come to the Lord. They will never repent. They will never seek Him. Well, you only come to the Lord when you are tired. It doesn't mean that you are a failure in the material things of this world. It doesn't mean that you don't know what else to do. You may still be in a process of perhaps promotion, a process of perhaps going further in your studies or whatever. And yet the Lord helps you to see through. And you see the vanity and emptiness. And you begin to say, yes, yes, I'm going to continue with my studies. Yes, I'm going to go on with that kind of thing, that or the promotion or whatever. Oh, but I realize what I really need above it all is the Lord to wash me and to bring me to Himself and to bring me into a conscious contact with Him. Otherwise, my life feels meaningless. Yes, I'm accomplishing that. Yes, I'm learning that. Yet I can feel it. I know it, that my life seems pointless without the Lord, without a purpose, without a real clear goal. What am I doing with my life? I don't even know. I only know I'm doing that, and I achieve that and get that also. And then what? You don't know. Just that? No. And so you discover that and say, yes, I may be doing these things, but yet I really want to live for the Lord. I don't want to live for myself. I do not want to live just for this world and to get things and get things and get things. I just don't want to live that, because I see that would be pointless. Until you are tired of the world, you don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends. It reminds me of that childish story you may have heard. That little boy was dressed in his new clothes. You may have heard that before. He's dressed in his new clothes and he's going with his father to an event. And as boys would love to do when they are in new clothes, he has his two pockets two hands in his pockets. And he was really walking down. Daddy said, well, let me hold your hand. He said, no. He really wants to take his cool steps all the way to where he was going. So he was going with his hands in his pocket. Daddy says, well, let me hold your hand. He said, no, Daddy, don't worry. I'll be all right. And as they were going down the hill, the boy slipped and he fell. Got up, cleaned himself a little, and then tuck his hands into the pocket again. Let me hold your hands. No, it's okay for the boy. And as they kept going, this time was a very serious fall. He almost wept. So this serious fall, he himself offered his hand to Dad. Now, Dad, hold my hand. He himself offered his hand to his dad. Until he has had a very, very painful fall, he will not offer his hand. Sadly, my dear friends, unless you are tired of this world, you will never come to the Lord. Unless you are tired of sin, some of the sins you think you love, unless you see the bitterness of them and you feel the pain of them, you won't repent. You won't turn to the Lord. But you don't have to wait till that time, because the Bible tells you, here is the offer of the Savior. Here is His merciful hand. Come, I will receive you. Come, I will bless you and change you and make you a new person. Why wait until things grow bitter? Why wait until things grow harsher? Why wait until there should be some mighty arm to pluck you, as it were? Oh, but friends, you must even now, if you would ask the Lord, now, are you a person carried away by this world? You have so much interest in only things and you don't want to think about the Lord. I will propose to you a prayer. Tell the Lord, if you are genuine and sincere, tell the Lord, oh Lord, I really would want to take you seriously and take what the Bible tells me seriously. But I recognize that I really trust this world. I can't really believe that this is a doomed place. This is a world that would disappoint. I believe it. I trust it. And I want to live for it. Help me to see through. And I'm sure the Lord will help you if you are very sincere. And you really want to see, because friends, as long as you do not see, you know, are not tired of sin, you will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Near Testament Semikine said, Sa Emreni Radi Beji Izra Funo Efri Egyptino. Ne ye said ye yang kopon nankasa ashe ashabo. And as wa promise it. Inti see Christo Kwajeniso. Eye Nyankopon ne promise. Nyankopon no promises se. Wa promises se. Obia oba mi nche. Nwa unu sede oye di bonye ni efano. Na otri radi Yesu Christo nkwano. Obeji no.
So enkwaje nyaminu ankas ne humo bro boshe ne humo bro bosho de ama ene bonyefo ne kasos se aden tina yankopon twa for 400 years ansana oyi Israel fun efi Egypt yesi erade twa century ba kono erade twa se de beya Israel fun mo ankas bebre ombe uso wa bre ewo Egypt no wo pese yaji won ansana erade aji won yesi etamba se senyanka se yembre yemboni ho yemba irade ho se yemboni yemboni waso eyende na se me pese mu waso mu minka sa irade ho otun sa frame se memba metimi akwa sorry metimi de mwa shisha sorry mu maye nyoma bebre nu anso me bonu no nu anka senche na mabada ni mabre bonu amano menyeda isansa me daswa etimi bonu hudomo yowa nyuma ba kwa yetu ese ose nyuma na okasa fasedia ya ade inti na uma omuti rade asem no omuti nchwa wane ya se no se bro abone hudo ewo hono ya be dene ya GAD semi wabone hudo ewo makume mwa me dene maji rade Yesu Kristo di mabane nche ampara ampara inti ya se ese bidu sabire nwa ya mbone enye de bia fi abre ewo hon na afi so se we ni wi ase eda wa koma so wa dwinya so betimi wi ase pa na wo hwehwe wo pese wo de de wi ase mna wo so ni nyoma ni tete sa hu do nyina ahwa ye ni mpase nyankopon sam ka chen se wi ase be di nyambo won sa be si form en chese se bia ta freche de bi kra wo ni be bi na ni ya keke de bi nya se ni ya ta che kra en fa ho dia wo benya ne bebre wo wiase abroso wo be ho wo kremu ampara se se da she se kana e se dia brebo kra wo hinsha ase bibi ka sikra ayira o na wo dia wo nimpo enti we be radi ho na se e se wiase e se wa koma mo pa na se e di ma wo so betimi eti radi pa wo betimi aka che radi no kroso wo ye no kra ampara dia ka che radi anka se radi mi nyanka me fa we ni bremo minyan kama ba wenche so madwin ye mesema memfa me homa wiase ansa bo amina minhunu sede wiase eti ankasa ma wanfa makoma friends so this by this we urge you dear friends come to the Lord. Let me mention the last one and we are done. It's there in verse 41. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the self same day, it came to pass, watch what follows. Sorry. And all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. All the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. You know why it is important? And it is even more important when you see how that is true when it comes to how we come to the Lord. You remember that Pharaoh bargained? First time when Moses went to say, the Lord says that let us go, he would say, at first he said, no, I'm not letting you go. When he was punished, he said, okay, how many of you are going? Only some of you should go and leave some behind. Moses says, no, all of us must go. Another time he says, okay, you go, but you leave your animals behind. Moses says, no, all of us must go. He says, another time he says, well, I'll let you go, but don't go far enough. Just be around there. His plans was that just in case he needed them, he can go and call them back again. And Moses says, no, we must travel all the way to the way God is designated. That's where we should be. That's why the pastor says that when the day came, all of them went. Every person went. All Israel went. And all Israel was rescued. My dear friends, conversion is the same. The day you come to the Savior is the day when you have seen your sinfulness and seen in the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope and Savior, with all your heart and gladly you yield your whole person to Him. As I said, you tell yourself, I want to live for Him and for Him alone. Dear friends, you can't be partial. The Lord won't accept that. You can't be half-hearted. The Lord won't receive that. You have to be entire. You have to be genuine and holy. Give yourself to Him. So it is. Friends, one Baptist preacher, John Bunyan, many of you know, his second book, The Holy War, he pictures this so beautifully for us. Some of you know, he pictures a city called Mansoul. Mansoul means ourselves. And this Mansoul has fallen into the hands of the devil, Diabolos. And there's an Emmanuel, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming to rescue Mansoul from Diabolos. And you remember, if you, those of you have read the story, when Emmanuel came and he wanted to rescue Mansoul, Diabolos, when he saw that he could not fight Emmanuel, began to make proposals, offer bargains. You remember, if you've read, so that Diabolos will say something like, okay, well, but what if I give you all the city, but I took care of the castle? I will be there. You take off the entire city. And Emmanuel will say, no, I need to take the entire city. And Diabolos will say, okay, but what if I go, but I retain some friends in this city, which so that I can visit them sometimes? Emmanuel says, no, when you go, you are gone. You can't have any visits. Diabolos says, okay, but what if I go, I can write letters to some people in the city. And Emmanuel says, no, when you go, no letters. You won't be allowed to write any letters into the city. But what if I stay just outside the gate so that occasionally I can look over to see my friends? Emmanuel says, no. And Diabolos was saying, well, this is too much. Of course, he had to leave. John Bunyan was really picturing it very perfectly. My dear friend, please understand. Most people, sadly, that friends are, if it were in our Bible study, it would be interesting to try to show that from other parts of Scripture. You know, when people first understand the gospel and they say, yes, I want to be a Christian, I want to come to the Lord, often, do not everyone, some people straight away come by the grace of God, but often what happens is that people only come partially. They are said, well, I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But, oh, I know there's worldly interests. I want to maintain it still. Even though it divides my heart and mind, I still will retain it. But so I will profess to be a Christian anyway. Friends, no, it doesn't do. It's not helpful. Others, well, I want to trust in the Savior, but I retain a little self-confidence. Yes, I'm a sinner. I agree I'm a sinner. Oh, but I'm not like other people. I've not been that bad. Some people are murderers. Some people steal company money. Some people by this time have committed that and that. I haven't done any of them. Yes, but the Bible says all of us are sinners. So I accept that I'm a sinner as I'm coming. Can such persons be saved? No, dear friends, you're not coming fully yet. There's a trust in your heart, a confidence in yourself. You don't need the Lord Jesus Christ 90% or 99%. You need him 100%. You need him entirely. You need him to deal kindly with you. Well, somebody wants to come and pass a love of sin, a particular sin he loves. Well, it doesn't seem a terrible sin. It's been, like, it's carried along for years. Perhaps a very convenient lie had been with him. And he lives with it. And he keeps going. It doesn't seem terrible. And nobody has seriously complained about that. But he knows, because conscience nudges him and say, but this is wrong. But this is wrong. And the person wants to keep it hidden away. And to say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I repent. Forgive me my sins. And yet he is aware this lie is there. Oh, friends, you know your prayer won't be answered yet. You know that? Your prayer won't be answered until the day when, as far as you can tell, you trust in nothing, your hopes are in nothing, and you cleave into no known sin. Not because you are perfect, but because, no, not because by your own strength you've been able to turn away from everything, but that you do not want to continue in any sin. The sin that now disturbs you, you are willing to cry to the Lord and call upon him and beg him to deal with it and to deliver you from it. You do not want to entertain any manner of disobedience, any manner of thing that belongs to yourself. If you're aware of any of them, you will cry to the Lord and beg him to rescue you and to take you from its grips and to set you free. the very day you so come genuinely, all confidences drawn down, and your heart willing to be entirely yielded to the Lord, that's when you enter into spiritual life. Why? Because your whole being has to be the Lord's. Your whole being has to be given to Him. The Lord Jesus won't take a half person or three quarters of a person. He must save the entire person. My dear friends, you know, there's something that always I find it fascinating in the Bible. You know, remember that word that the Lord Jesus said that even the hairs of your head are numbered. He was talking to Christians. Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. You know what the Savior means by that? He so takes care and is so interested in every small bit of the child of God. He rescued everything. When He died on the cross of Calvary, He died and no particle of you will be lost. So the let a Christian die. Let him die in the ocean. And let the fishes there eat up his flesh. So that one piece, one bit of flesh went into fish A. And another bit went into fish B. So there are thousands of fish that shared his body. On the day of resurrection, the Savior will bring all of them together. You know why? He died for every one of it. And He values every one of us. That's what the Bible says. Our bodies also. He died to rescue the soul, but the body, as it is, must all be brought together and glorified, wonderfully changed, for it to inherit eternal rest. And so, this shows you, this is why the Lord Jesus Christ must receive and save the whole person, and not a part of you. And so, my whole heart has to be His. I should come entirely, yielding my whole self to Him. So, dear friends, we invite you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. Believe in Him. Rest your life in Him. What He did on Calvary, it was important that He shed His precious blood to rescue needy sinners. Make sure you come truly. Make sure every trust is thrown away. Our hymn writer said, let no other trust intrude. Let no other confidence mix up the waters. A little bit of confidence in myself or something. Oh, beg the Lord to deliver you. And look to the Savior alone, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save you and to bring you to Himself. First, let me just say that saying that. Pharaoh, dear, Onyayanche, or Befakakra, a son of Abraham Moses Koeno, or the Kanka Chenis, oh, Mumubi El Kro, na Munyakakrawa, Moses Sidabi, Yenina Ebeko. Enna, one penny near Radiachinaso, Nafua Penicakra, Osi, okay. A fair dear, Sadia Monk, Munja Mumuano, and in Chinin Yaka Munjan, which Moses there be a Dina Elko, a son of Say a bo, a for your me radi, Moses Sidabi. Yam penny and a first son penny, a chance of monk. Side a moment, creature, cram, mumwa haya, namunya said your men, Moses Debi, and see two quaintin timpa, neko be yanko from Perse a chrono. And te a chino or genian coupon to me ankasa, sell the Israel for a fee, Egypt a free, Pharaoh and Samuel. Near say, say a nette a menu obey radius Christo Hon, Kaya say. Wom may irradi edia mra wom fa wa komanyina emmanu ampara na wom chire no ampara ya kase ya piatre sen ya se eya nia watin kwaje semno asino onimpasa irradi yesu kristo woman ni boye fo onimpasa onu se di boye ni enso na koma mu no eye no se onye di boye ni die but onye ba di pi on say to send him pankayeno. Iradia samchese niya unhun huseyeno. On to me enchiri iradia Yesu Christo ankasa. Isan se, obeji nuhuidi kakrebi. Wanakume muno. Ususunu huse oye kakrebi. Sa, ereshe muno. Ema unchiri iradia Yesu Christo. Iradia Yesu Christo amba se, obeji ni mwayafa muya ni mwayafa ikodu 90%. Anase 99%. Oba se, obeji ni mwenye fo, mwenye 100% ni mwenye fo. Inti niye onhu nuhu se, miye di mwenye ni minibibia e yefe e wumimu. semijina nyankopo eni mwa bibie eni wa mime itimi akase nchamidia minye sao nchamidia niana junye niseno awa saa ahopono saa ahomo masono ni kremwa eradi beto na chene eradi enkasano obese di osa nyankopo nso onjine eradi entieno esanso chreno onjine hudie kodi se ya balbe huse metese me ni bonyefo ankasa ade ba kwa yon wonwon ne se Ewurade Yesu Kristo me jide se farisifo no mo ampekra Ewurade Yesu Kristo there was one time na oni farisifo ne kasa no na opese okasa tia se de omomoma won so no o se na momo mpese moba mu hunse sa ne Ewurade kanu mu hunse mu ni tia se san krofa mu so mo ye nyaman ene ewudi fo no omo eba nso mo kra man kaka mo se yenso ya baba yende radi Yesu Kristo pa ka mo amese mo se mo ya papa e mo ntumi ma we mo na mo ba ncha mo nsensia won sane radi ka mo nsensia sane mo ye fo ya mo di mo bu nso mo mo won de mo asa e kra no isan se ansan no bebe radi Yesu Kristo ho no esan se wo hu se masse mini ahoɔfɛ bia wɔ me mu ɛwɔ Nyankopɔn anim sɛ wo ho ahoɔfɔ bi no biribi wɔ hɔ wode wobɛkamfo wo ho kakra ɛwɔ wo awa koma mu wotwe mu ɛbɛsi wo kwan sɛ wobɛ Awurade Yesu Kristo nkyɛn yɛhimmrata baako sɛ berɛ Awurade nkyɛ ɛmma awerɛhyɛmu biara ɛmmɛfra awerɛhyɛmu bi ɛwɔ me ame mu anaa biribi a memmɛtumi ayɛ yɛse ɛkɔdi sɛ wobɛ Awurade hɔ na wode wakoma nyinaa brɛ no sɛ wontwere hweara ɛdi sɛ bi ɛdi mmerɛ bi so ana asoɔden bi wɔ hɔ a na mewerɛ hyɛm meda so a ɛwɔ wiase botaa bi ɛwɔ menua mu menyɛ mmeredi sɛ Awurade Yesu Kristo bɛdi abrɛbɔ no nyina mea mepɛ sɛ memɛnkɛn ma me ambition my ambitions in this world I'm not willing to let yield them to the Lord menyɛ krade sɛ megya to Awurade nsɛm sɛ afei Awurade no abɛdanedane sɛdeɛ ɔno apɛ I want to be a small master. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ will be the big master. No way. There has to be only one master. Big or small. But some of you who are not going to be a master. 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 So friends, it's one thing to understand the gospel in your head. It's another thing to embrace it. And to rest your hopes upon it. Hey, I did back with some with him quite just as we trim. We bet me crack a chaff for what you would de pa. Hey, I did back with cra. So what to want to swallow. And I feel wabi radinwa. You can want some no. De wabi to me same. So be humo bro. And I watch you. Chasa wabi chain friends. Be sure that you have come. And we invite you to do so. Come, my dear friends. Come and taste. That we should begin life for you. Conversion is the beginning of life. Ya brebo na sheseni. Say ya bera di hono. My dear friend, yield your heart to him. Trust in what he did. Turn to him. Tell him that love of sin that is ruling. Tell him the grip of self-confidence that's there. Tell him and he will conquer. He will come and triumph for us. Obedi sun kunyi mu amayen. Say ya bani nchea. Wode atwere no na kakyɛ no sɛ wopɛ sɛ woba no nkyɛn wode sɛdeɛ wabrɛbɔ tie a ɛbrɛ no ɔhu mmɔborɔ na ɔnyɛ o friends are you tired of sin then surely you will flee to him wabrɛ wɔ bɔne ho ɛne wobɛba no nkyɛn ampa ara brɛ sɛsei a mensɛ o brɛ sɛsei a